Morning, everyone. Call to order the February 22nd, 2017 variance hearing. I am Corey Teague, the Assistant Zoning Administrator. I'll be the Acting Zoning Administrator this morning, standing in for Scott Sanchez. Joined by our Executive Secretary, Eva Atahera Taylor. Just go over some general housekeeping before we begin with the cases. In terms of the order of presentation, project sponsors and or property owners shall be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments on how the five findings are met to justify the variance. The applicant should also submit the declaration of posting when they approach to present their case. Any members of the public, both supporters and opponents of the proposed variance, shall be allowed 3 minutes each to speak. If there is any public testimony in opposition to a proposed variance, the applicant is allowed 3 minutes for rebuttal. I may ask questions of the applicant and or members of the public. At the end of the item, I may close the public hearing and take the matter under advisement. I may continue the item to a future date, or I may take action on the item today. Items listed on the consent calendar are matters considered routine by the zoning administrator, and if anyone would like to speak on these items, please stand up when those items are called. Otherwise, they will be granted. There are currently two items listed on the consent calendar. There will be public comment at the end of the hearing, and it shall be allowed for items not on the agenda. Members of the public are allowed 3 minutes each to speak at that time if they wish. Regarding the criteria for justifying the granting of a variance, Section 305C of the Planning Code states that in order to grant a variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish all of the following five findings. Finding one, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class of district. Finding two, that owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the Planning Code would result in practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding three, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by other property in the same class of district. Finding four, that the granting of such variance would not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And finding five, that the granting of the variance will be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the Planning Code and would not adversely affect the general plan. Regarding the decision letter, please be aware that no decision is final on a variance until a decision letter is issued. Due to current backlogs, decision letters may take up to 2 months or so to complete from the date of this hearing. If anyone would like to receive a copy of a decision letter, please complete the sign-up sheet located at the far wall and provide your contact and mailing information. Regarding appeal of a variance decision, the zoning administrator's action to grant or deny a variance application may be appealed to the Board of Appeals within 10 days of the date of the decision letter. And again, no decision is final until a decision letter is issued. Regarding other pieces of business, please be aware that private conversations can be very disruptive to the hearing, so please conduct all private conversations outside of the hearing room. The next variance hearing after today is scheduled for March 22nd, 2017. Audio recordings of variance hearings are available on the Planning Department's website as a link on the hearing agenda for hearings on or after January 1st, 2011. With that, we'll move on to the calendar for today. We have first item number 12 for 2523 Steiner Street is proposed to be continued to the March 22nd, 2017 hearing at the request of the project sponsor. If a discretionary review is filed on the associated building permit for that project, then the variance hearing will then be held at the same time as the Planning Commission hearing. Is there any public comment on the proposed continuance of this item to March 22nd, 2017? Would anyone like to speak to that continuance? Okay, seeing none, this item will be continued to March 22nd, 2017 for that variance hearing again, unless there is a discretionary review filed, at which case it will be scheduled to be heard jointly with the Planning Commission. Moving on, there are two items on the consent calendar for today's hearing. These include item 1 for 1631 Chestnut Street and item 2 for 51 Beaver Street. Items on the consent calendar again are matters considered routine by the zoning administrator. If anyone would like to speak on either of these items, please step forward now. Otherwise, the items will be granted. Is there any comment on the two consent items? Please come forward.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Good morning. I'm Jace Levinson, principal of Jace Architecture. We're the architects for Dennis Germain, who's the property owner at 1631 Chestnut. As a result of the soft story program, he has the really tremendous opportunity to add a legal unit. And this is a 15-unit building. And the ground floor, which is quite large, is completely unoccupied. And so the rear of the building will be a 1,200 square foot, two bedroom, one bath unit with a garden, light from both the south and the east. And I just want to say, I think it's an excellent project and I commend him for doing it. And I commend the planning department for giving people the opportunity to add these units in previously unused space. The rear yard, less than 15, is within 10% of the 15 feet. And it's almost 50 feet wide, so without a building at its rear property line. And I just think it's going to be a terrific unit. So I thank you for hearing this case.
Thank you. Would anyone else like to speak to either of the two items on the consent calendar? Okay, seeing no additional public comment, then we are inclined to grant the variances for those two consent calendar items, and we will move on to the regular calendar.
A regular calendar item number 3, case number 2015-007232VAR. 3851 Market Street, rear yard variance sought. Is the project sponsor of this item here? Please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes. Project sponsor for 3851 Market Street. Moving on to item number 4, case number 2015-003259VAR, 1649 Washington Street, rear yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Can I give you the affidavit here? Hi, Mr. Teague. My name is Roy Grant. I reside at 1651 Washington Street. And I'm here with a couple of other owners at 1649 to 1657 Washington Street. We are talking about a project that was redeveloped in 2007 through 2009, and we're seeking a variance for a rear deck that was built at the back of the property during the redevelopment process. The deck consists of a deck here, a stair tower, and stairs to grade. Now, we all bought into this project in the 2009-2010 timeframe after the project was built and after this deck was constructed. We thought at the time we bought the project that everything was fine. That's what our developer represented to us. However, in the 2011 timeframe, we began receiving NOVs saying that not everything had been closed out, including the deck. We went to the developer and said, you know, we need to fix this up. And we were told that it was a matter of just papering over some issues. But by 2014, nothing had happened. And so since then, we, the owners, have been working to try to resolve these problems. We've met with the building department, and we've met with the planning department over these issues. With regards to the deck, two specific issues have been flagged. First of all, the sides of the deck are too close to the property line. We should be back 5 feet from the property line. We're about 2.5 feet, roughly, from the property line. The second thing is that this rear stairways to grade extends into the 25% space at the rear of the property. Again, as I said, we work with the city. We received from DBI a pre-app letter talking about how to resolve the issues. And we've been working with the planning staff in several face-to-face meetings and numerous communications. So what are we proposing? We're proposing installing a railing on the deck on the sides here glass railings to make it more visual, but we're not proposing to bring in the deck on the sides. And we're also proposing no changes to the stair tower or the stairs to grade. So I said the two big issues were the issues that the stairs to grade fit into the 25% space and that they're too close to the sides of the property. Let me just address those two issues because there's a fair amount of issues in bringing in those things that cause us hardship. With respect to the sides of the deck, we looked at bringing in the deck further. Bringing it to the 5-foot line puts us right in the middle of a window, so we'd have to go almost to the 8-foot line, substantially reducing our open space for each of the units. Also, at the 8-foot line, when we come down to the bottom level, the support for the deck would run right through a sliding glass door on both sides of the deck. And as a result, we'd have to engineer around that with significant expense. With respect to the stairs to grade, we were asked whether we could move the stairs to grade within the boundaries of the deck itself. Now, just to give you a little bit of picture here, at the very bottom, there is a patio area at the bottom. This is out of the garden unit. And were we to move the stairs to grade, we looked at moving to the sides of the deck, but because these stairs are fire egress stairs, we're told we couldn't move it to the sides of the deck. In the middle of the deck, if you started from the deck itself and came down to grade, we create an overhead hazard for this particular deck. I'm sorry, for this particular patio area. You could see with these red lines where that stairs would intersect the headroom for that particular patio area. We also looked at leaving the stairs kind of where they are, but turning them 90 degrees to the right or 90 degrees to the left. Again, we tried very hard to try to find a solution for it, but returning either of those stairs does two things. First of all, it negatively affects the light going into this bottom unit. But secondly, it kind of straddles this retaining wall over here. And in doing so, we'd have to build another structure that would allow for the deck to come down to this retaining wall and then exit into the backyard. Because of those difficulties, we are proposing not changing the location of those stairs to grade. We're sorry that these things have resulted this way, but we've been conscientiously trying to address the comments. We respectfully ask for your understanding and approval of our variance request.
Thank you. Are there any members of the public who would like to speak on this item? Okay.
One thing I want to add.
Sure.
I've got 7 letters of support and 1 email of support from our neighbors, if I can give those to you.
Go ahead. Submit those. Okay, thank you for all that information. I will definitely go over all of that in more detail. Seeing no public comment on this item, I will close the public comment and I will take this item under advisement.
Moving to item number 5, case number 2015-015278 VAR, 1244 Larkin Street, rear yard modification variance sought. Project sponsor, please. Approach the mic. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Hello. My name is Brent McDonald, and I am the architect for 1244 Larkin. Thank you for giving us the opportunity to speak here. In particular, one of the largest items of note is that the building is a historic structure, and we have worked diligently with planning to create a massing that, one, preserves the structure, two, creates some housing, and three, does not affect the adjacent neighbors. This is sort of a massing that was presented about 10 to 15 studies with the planning department on what was appropriate here. You can see the dramatic, the existing building is two stories down in front. The adjacent buildings are four and three stories. Actually, yeah, four and three stories. Many of the buildings in the neighborhood are 100% lot coverage, as is ours. The building to the east is an eight-story concrete building, and the two side buildings are wood frame. Ours is a historic masonry structure. Our proposal is to renovate the lower two floors, keeping with sort of a mixed-use theme, and create some housing up above. But due to the setbacks to keep the building, the additions to the building not visible to the public right of way, push the massing towards the rear. We have respected all of the notches and cutouts of the adjacent buildings. You can kind of see that there's a light well structure here. There's a large cutout here. The rear yard massing that is in the setback is adjacent to an eight-story concrete wall. We've started the upper massing behind the light wells of the existing building. This is a massing study from the street, so you can see that the newer elements are only partially visible from this is one of the worst case visuals, but does show the building sort of stepping back, and then you can see the eight-story structure behind. So in terms of findings, the exceptional and extraordinary circumstances are the historic aspects of the structure, requiring us to set back to the rear instead of going vertically. The 100% lot coverage meant that the housing needed to go above the podium base of the building. The exceptional, extraordinary circumstances are that not allowing us the variance would not allow us to create housing. The housing that we are creating has plenty of open spaces, as we've utilized the roofs that have been setting back as open space. The surrounding structures is we are in an 80-foot height zone, and certainly all of the newer structures in the neighborhood are at that sort of 80-foot limit. The older structures are still large structures, with the predominant majority being four stories. That we won't be affecting the public welfare, as we've been working with planning to make sure that we've respected all of the ins and outs of the adjacent structures. And this is in support of the master plan, in that we are preserving a historic structure, creating new uses that increase housing, and in particular create family housing. The owner does intend to live there. He has a large extended family, and we'll be occupying one of the units. The other two units will be for rent. I think you have in our base package, you have all the pictures and all of that. I do have them on a laptop and can bring them up if there's anything you kind of need to see. Thank you.
Are there any members of the public who would like to speak to this item? Please come forward.
You have 3 minutes, sir. You have to use the middle one.
Hi. I hadn't planned to speak, but I came here more to satisfy my curiosity. I live at 1234 Larkin. That's the building immediately to the south of this project. This project began, the construction began 14 months ago. So I am intimately familiar with this project, the repercussions of the work that's going on, because also I do work at night, so I'm there often during the daytime. 14 months of hammering, of jackhammers, of earth-moving machinery, moving debris out of the building, power tools, etc. I spoke with Mr. McDonald before any of this work began, and he estimated that the work would take 9 months. I understand that was a low estimate. I'm reasonable about it. I understood it would take longer than that. 14 months later, we don't see any end in sight. I don't see really what's going on. I'm kind of unsettled by the way this whole thing is proceeding. He mentioned that the buildings in the area extend to the lot lines. 1234 Larkin Street does not. There is an area in the back. We're talking about a 100-year-old masonry structure, all right, is 1244 Larkin Street. 1234 Larkin Street does not extend to the lot line. It's about 25 feet or so in the wall that abuts 1244 Larkin Street. What that means is there's 25 feet to the east property line of 1234 Larkin Street. Let's estimate 30 feet elevation, so that's about 750 feet of 100-year-old brick wall that has no support whatsoever. I don't believe Mr. McDonald, the structural engineer, or anyone has come to take a look at that wall, because you would have had to have gained access through our building. There are cracks in the mortar between the brick courses. Now, it's not buttressed like a wall that abuts another wall will be buttressed by that wall. This has no support at all. I'm concerned that these folks are in over their head, that they don't know what they're doing. I don't understand the delay. It's been 14 months. It's not even half done, it looks like. So that's my concern. I'm not speaking directly to the issue of the variance, but I'm concerned about the competency of these folks. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name's Paul Zillis. I live at 1234 Larkin Street. I've been there for 23 years.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment on this item? Please come forward.
You have 3 minutes, ma'am.
My name is Wendy Coles. I work right around the corner on Pine Street, and I just had a minor comment, not as substantial as the last gentleman. I just wanted to point out that there is a really lovely historic neon sign right around the corner, or on this building that's around the corner from where I work. I don't know if this is going to show up. No, it doesn't show up. Anyway. I took a picture of it a while ago. No, it doesn't work. It's a little rainbow neon sign, and I would love to see it maintained and restored. A lot of that is happening in the neighborhood, in the Tenderloin, with old neon signs being restored. And I hope if this project does go forward, that that sign will be protected. Thank you.
Thank you. Is there any other public comment on this item? Seeing no other public comment, I will close public comment. Project sponsor has 3 minutes of rebuttal, if they would like.
Yes, I wanted to address both comments, actually, and we've discussed them in depth. The work that's going on in the structure right now is a base stabilization and seismic retrofitting. There was new foundations put on the property line that abuts the gentleman who spoke. We have installed shotcrete walls on the brick walls that abut his property. The second story walls are not shotcrete, but they were retrofitted in the 80s. In the 2000. So the building, as a newly renovated building, will meet the current seismic and structural requirements of the building code. And in fact, a majority of it has exceeded the requirements of the code, and I'm fully aware of the walls he's talking about, and they've been fully surveyed and structurally taken care of. In terms of the sign, we would have no issues maintaining the sign. However, the owner doesn't own that sign. In the purchase of the property, the Rainbow Waterproofing still exists and still owns that sign. They relocated to South San Francisco, and they intend to come take that sign. That's really the story of it. The owner doesn't own the sign.
Where's that sign located at?
It's in the front of the building. It's Rainbow Waterproofing, and the sign has an appearance of being older than it is, but Rainbow Waterproofing came in there in the 80s. At any rate, in the historical supplemental information that we filed, there's a description of rainbow waterproofing and the sign, and we've discussed it at length with Jeannie Poling and all the people from environmental planning. So I'm not sure what else. Additionally, the variance here that we're seeking doesn't really have anything to do with the sign, but we're happy to talk about it further. So,
thank you. Okay. Well, I want to thank you, first of all, for actually going through the specific findings and talking specifically about how you think the project actually meets those findings. We don't always get that kind of that type of direct presentation specifically on the findings, so I do appreciate that. Regarding the sign, like you said, I mean, that's kind of out of the purview of what we're here for today. If the property owner and the business owner can work with anyone who's interested on that, that's great, but it's not really under the purview of what we're looking at today. Regarding the other construction, I did just take a quick look at the property maps just to get a better understanding of the neighbor Paul at 1234. It does look like 1234 does go to its property line. There's a space on the adjacent property on the Pine Street building. The 8-story structure has some space at the rear, but it looks like the properties on Larkin Street there all go to their property line.
Both adjacent structures do have a setback in their rear. Our structure has also modified its upper stories to reflect each of those points. At the point that Paul was discussing, the masonry wall is actually being slightly reduced in height. There's a couple feet being cut off of one portion and about 10 feet off of another. And then our building is set back 6 feet. We are to the north of the rear yard of Paul's, and the building to the north, all of the principal windows face an alleyway, and that alleyway that they use for parking, our building is set back and reflects that point. So I don't think we're affecting any light and shadow. The light and shadow for the morning hours is completely obscured by the 8-story building to the east. When you get to the noontime suns, our structure is set back from that north building's parking area by about 25 feet. So I don't think there's any effect.
Okay, thank you. I do understand the construction issues and the timing issues. I have two structures next to where I live that have both been doing seismic retrofitting for 9 months, and that just kind of is what it is. I'm happy for them to be seismically retrofitted, though. And unfortunately, you know, that's just part of the process of bringing a lot of buildings up to code, and as was mentioned, it's not really the purview of what's here today. Based on the project that's here today, I do happen to agree there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances with the historic nature of the building, with the development pattern of the existing subject block in that area in terms of being near or at full lot line construction and at heights that are more representative of the height district that it's within. So I would be inclined to grant this variance. Thank you.
Moving to item number 6, case number 2016-014950 VAR, 309 Rutledge Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, you have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning, Mr. Teague. My name is Sven Levine, and I'm the architect for 309 Rutledge. We're refiling a variance that expired back in 2007 for rear yard mass reduction and parking. Our owner, who wished to rehabilitate the family house that he grew up in so he can live there, was unable to do so because of the financial hardships that occurred because of the recession, and he sort of lost his financing and had to put the project on hold. And then he came back in 2015 and said he wanted to do the project. Unfortunately, at that point, all the entitlements had expired in 2009. So we're going through the process of reapplying for the original entitlements in as close to their original format as possible, so making as little changes as possible. Other than some minor fenestration changes and roof reductions requested by RDT, and some increased guardrail heights, we're not really changing anything with this submittal. It's a Class A building, and SF Heritage holds an easement on the facade. It's kind of a unique sort of a floor plan or a unique house that you typically don't see in San Francisco. You can kind of see the existing portions of the building. It's kind of this additive thing of kind of almost separate buildings that have kind of been added over the years. I think probably the two front ones are original, but then there's kind of this sort of modular kind of a quality to it. So we have kind of these two-story sections in the front, and then there's another one-story section behind these two front sections, and these are required to keep for historic reasons. The rear portion of the building we're being allowed to demolish, and that's kind of what we have to work with. It's a sort of a very unusual plan. I guess first of all, there's no way to accommodate parking. There's a facade, so there's no opportunity to have a garage. And then we're sort of locked into this unusual floor plan of kind of these small compartmentalized spaces that we're required to keep. So it's kind of a difficult situation to get a sort of a normal floor plan. And what we're proposing is this about 24-foot deep addition to the rear that's pushed within 6 feet of the rear property line. And two stories with a kitchen at the bottom and a bedroom above. And then we're sort of making up for some of that lost rear yard with a center courtyard. Now this center courtyard, it serves to differentiate the historic portion of the building from the new portion. But it also accesses a side, there's a side lot which the owner owns as well, and he does not intend to develop. And he intends to use that as his open space. And so that courtyard actually accesses this, what he'd like to use as the open space. And then there's also a parking area at the front of that adjacent lot, which he intends to use for parking. This is the side elevation as seen from the adjacent lot. And I don't know if you can see this, but there's a dashed line that sort of progresses up through here. And that's actually the center line of the adjacent site. And it sort of goes to show how this building, the addition at least, is really kind of almost absorbed in the topography. And then at the rear, is actually the neighbor behind us. That's the top of their fence, which is about 5 feet below the top of our proposed building. So everything is really kind of sucked up into the site to a large extent. So the impact is, we feel, is minor as seen from public areas. And here's kind of a aerial perspective. The subject properties here. And you can see that there's several properties which do pretty much the same thing as our house. The adjacent property is built pretty much all the way to the rear yard. And then we have a couple other houses down here that have the same kind of condition. They extend just about all the way to the back of the site. So we feel there's a lot of precedent for it on the block. We don't feel it's really sort of an out of place kind of a thing. And so I guess, in closing, we don't really feel that this is out of line with what already exists, and wouldn't be substantially visible due to the topography, and that the unusual configuration and historic classification of the building impose a hardship that is not shared by other properties. So, thank you.
Thank you. Are there any members of the public here who would like to speak on this item? Please come forward.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
Hi, my name is John Holland. I live in the house immediately behind this project on 269 Ripley Street. And it was approved 10 years ago, but in 10 years I've managed to think a lot about it, and so now I'm wondering if it could be maybe not quite so close to the line. Also, there's a minor issue. The side views showed that my fence is sort of what I think it's the addition is being measured as. But at one time I had a survey that seemed to show that my property is a non-usable slope.
that's in line with the properties on either side of me, I believe, and that that is actually where you should measure from. So one issue I have is this being absolutely correctly measured? The second issue I have is, after 10 years of thinking, is it a great hardship if it doesn't go back the additional six, which is, it goes back, I guess you're adding seven to the variance to get to within 6 feet of what might or might not be the correct rear boundary. So those are my two questions. Also, because regardless of how nicely it's planned, et cetera, it's still gonna be a little closer into mine and my neighbor's line of sight. I know that's not preserved really by anything, but I just want to put that forward. Is also, since there's a, again, since there is a room for a free space, I don't know if that free space could be made smaller and thereby shift things a little further towards Rutledge and away from the backyard neighbors. I don't know. I'm just putting that forward. That's it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming in. Is there any other public comment on this item? Please come up.
You also have 3 minutes, sir.
My name is Kim Steele. I'm two houses up from the property on the backside. I spoke to a staff member of the planning board last week, and in reviewing last 10 years ago approval of this, and I was concerned about the lack of parking on the property. And the architect said that they're planning on using the parking pad on the adjoining lot. And according to the staff member, and I'm sorry, I forgot his name, said that in the last approval of the variance, there was a restriction put on the parking pad that it couldn't be sold or transferred. So I want to make sure that that it continues in this consideration for the variance, and you know, like that it can't be transferred, sold, amended, you know, with language that keeps it in permanent status. And the other thing is that he said that there's a lot, the part of the mass increase was that they were gonna restore a historic building to the front, the Victorian building. So I haven't heard any discussion from the architect or anybody else about what the plan is to restore the building, what the time frame is to restore the architecture of the Victorian building. So I would like language describing time frames for that restoration, because that seems to be a big part of what they're allowing in this increased mass. So the 2 points. You know, fixation on the parking pad and time frame and description of the restoration of the Victorian facade. Thank you.
Thank you.
You have 3 minutes, sir.
I'm Terry Milne. I'm a member of the Bernal Heights East Slope Design Review Board. And we wrote letters in the past after meeting with the project sponsor about objections. And in fact, our most recent letter had 5 objections to the design, and the parking situation that you just heard about was one of them. We were worried about parking on that block. The side view, the west side view, east side view of the new section of the building is going to be very massive, bulky, because you have the parking pad next door that is going to be apparently preserved for that. So you're going to see a very tall two-story building in the back of the lot. But the objection about the length of the building, or the diminished rear yard requirement, if you have 13 feet already in the existing buildings, there's no reason to diminish that to 6 feet. That's no extraordinary circumstance to be able to just push the building a little further because you're building something new. And we also had some concern about the mass reduction variance. The purpose of mass reduction in section 242 is to inhibit out-of-character scale of buildings. And it's very specific for the Bernal Heights neighborhood about mass reduction, and so we don't think there's a reason to have a variance for that. There's nothing extraordinary. And finally, that's as many things as are covered. We just thought that the building in general, the design was much more massive and bulky than the rest of the buildings on that block. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other members of the public who'd like to speak on this item? Okay, seeing none, I'll close public comment, and the project sponsor has 3 minutes of rebuttal if they would like.
Okay. Just kind of going through the comments. So regarding the property line of the house, we did have a site survey and a full topographic and boundary survey done on the property. So I think we're fairly confident about the location of the rear property line. And we actually did, I think we did do some studies in the past showing the sort of offset of height differential between the neighbor behind in our property, but it's our feeling that we're so far below the other neighbor's property that the impact is minor, and the windows that do face towards his property are being frosted to protect privacy. And I guess regarding the parking question, whether that space would be somehow, there'd be language to reserve that space or tie it to this property, that's something that we're happy to do. We were, I guess, expecting that would be part of this variance decision if it's granted, so that's not a problem. Regarding historic features, I guess that's not really a variance issue, but we do have very specific details as part of the building department submittal, which lay out the historic features of the building and how they're to be restored and retained. And as far as a time frame to do that, that's kind of hard to say. I mean, it's a construction project in San Francisco, and we're subject to a lot of outstanding issues. But you know, typically something like this takes around a year. And then I guess regarding East Slope Design Review's comments, there were questions about, I think there was a question about impact on parking. I mean, I guess that we've heard some of their comments, and first off, it was advised by the planner on this project that we not make any changes to the original variance at this point. So, at this point, I guess the planning advised that we keep things as they are. But just to kind of highlight on some of the things that were brought up, the issue with parking is that we do actually have a hardship. If we could cut a hole in the front of the facade and create a garage, we would. But we can't really do that. Regarding the comment about the massiveness of the project, I guess we really don't agree with that. I think that because we are pushing this towards the rear part of the yard as much as possible, that reduces the massing of the project more. If we were to locate it closer to the front of the house, the massing would be more visible from the street. But as it is, most of the massing is sort of absorbed by the site. And you really don't read the full two-story height of it. It's really just about one story that you're kind of seeing peeking above the site. So I don't really understand where that comment is coming from. I think it's it is sort of absorbed in the topography. And then regarding mass reduction, we actually are complying with mass reduction in the complying portion of the building. It's really only because we have an encroaching portion that triggers this mass reduction variance. But we actually have more, I think we have about 900 square feet, or 900 feet, and 650 is required on the complying portion. So we're not actually, I don't think we're too bad here.
Okay, thank you. Yep. Okay, thank you everyone. Many issues to work through here. A little bit of a unusual situation with the previously granted but expired variance from 2007. So with all of that in mind, I will take this item under advisement.
Moving to item number 7, case number 2016-013865-VAR, 2137 to 2139 Grove Street, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor, please approach the mic. You have 5 minutes.
Hi, thank you. My name is Mike Larkin, and I have the affidavit and photograph. So our building, 2137, 2139 Grove Street, is a classic two-unit residential building, very typical site dimensions for the neighborhood. We wish to keep the character of the building the same. The one scope of work that we are proposing that requires the variance is work to the south side, the rear side of the building. This is the one part of the site where sunlight actually gets into the interior of the rooms and is very desirable. The front of the building faces north and doesn't have direct sun. The sides, of course, are blocked by the neighbors. So we wish to just improve and open up the rear portion of the building. There's a very narrow rear addition that's presently there, and we just wish to expand it by about 4 feet just to make it a usable family room space. It's very hard to use the space as it is. And then this work would continue down to the lower unit as well, so it would be consistent vertically. The rear deck and stairs are in very poor condition, so we wish to rebuild those and do a modern code compliant stair. We've talked to the adjacent neighbors, of course, and we did not get any negative reactions to the project. We did take back a proposal to develop a roof deck on top of the building. That seemed to be a concern to the west neighbor, so we retracted that. And one small detail on the variance description is that the firewall that will be required is on the west side of the property, not the east side. The public hearing notice, I think it's just a typographic error, says east side. But where we're proposing it is adjacent to an existing wall and existing stair of the neighbor, so is virtually it's acceptable in that it's not like a projection or something that's visible. On the east side, we're coming out to where the east neighbor is. So again, it's not something that can be seen from the east neighbor. But that's essentially our scope of work. Thank you.
Thank you. Any members of the public here to speak on this item? Seeing none, I will close the public comment. Thank you for that information. I'll take that under advisement. Thank you.
Moving to item number 8, case number 2016-012851-VAR, 315 16th Avenue, rear yard variance sought. Project sponsor? Oh, great. Whenever you're ready.
Good morning, I'm Mark Dietrich, the homeowner, and I'm here with my architect, Leslie Arnold, to request the variance for a remodel which adds internal stairs between the first and second floors of my home. We currently only have external access to our lower level, which contains our garage, our laundry, and a room which we'd like to remodel into a family room for our growing family. We've lived in the Richmond neighborhood for over 10 years, and I've been inside most of my neighbors' homes, and every one of the houses on our block has internal stairs. Ours does not. Just last week, while carrying a load of laundry down the external stairs, I slipped on the rain-soaked steps and nearly fell. I was fine. My underwear was not. Since we have a significantly smaller lot depth than all of our neighbors on 16th Avenue, the plans that Ms. Arnold has drafted require this requested variance in order to fit a code-compliant staircase within the existing structure and avoid a teardown. Except for the staircase, our existing primary living space remains essentially unchanged by the modifications. I ask Ms. Arnold to share further details.
Just to show, get an idea of the lot, this is the mid-block open space. This property is...
Could you speak to the mic, please?
Oh, thank you. Sorry. Their property is right here, and their property ends at 82 and a half feet. Everybody else is at 120. It comes all the way out to here. So it is an undersized lot. You can quickly see there and there. This is the exterior stairs and deck that we're proposing to remove and fill in under here at the first level. And on the other side here, and it would be just at the first level. We are proposing to maintain all of this existing structure. Can you see that? The scope actually has been reduced. RDT requested that at this level, the stairs were coming out here and at full height. We pulled this in according to RDT's request. So now you come here, it slopes a bit, and the stairs continue under here. So this is the existing rear yard, rear of the house, which we want to maintain. We want to fill in these areas. So this 3 feet at this level and at the first level require the variance. At the second level, just this little area in blue. As you can see here, this is the site plan. The adjacent neighbor's property comes out to here, which is the property that determines the required setback. And their existing home extends 3 feet beyond. So we want to maintain the existing home and just fill in at the sides. And so these little squares here require the variance at the second level, that little bit at the purple. And this, let me just point out, this is the deck and stairs that we will be removing. So we're actually reducing encroachment into the rear yard by taking these very rickety, slippery stairs, and moving it along the south property line. And it really is, when I go back to the floor plan here, there is no other place to put stairs except along code-complying stairs along the south wall, because we are maintaining this whole area and not demolishing it. And you could see at the rear, this is existing. We're maintaining that. We're just going to add a little bit down here and over in this area and just a little small bit at the top. And we did push this back away from this property according to RDT. Most of the lots are in this block are 120 feet by 25. This is 25 by 82 and a half square feet. And we are only requiring a variance on 36 square feet. 28 and a half of the square feet is on the first level and 7.5 square feet at the second level. And
okay. Thank you very much. Are there any members of the public here who would like to speak on this item? Okay, seeing none, I will close the public hearing. Thank you for that information. I also live in a unit where I have to walk down the rear stairs to get to my laundry and my storage room. I've slipped many times. I've luckily never fallen. I'm sure I've made plenty of funny faces in the process, though. So I can understand. I will look over this in more detail and take it under advisement. Thank you.
Moving to item number 9, case number 2016-010657, VAR, 2963 21st Street, rear yard variance sought. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning. Our property was constructed around about 1900 and was compliant, I believe, at that point with the requirements of the city. Unfortunately, it no longer is. Placement of the property on the yard means that the rear yard is actually a little short of the current requirements. So that's actually what's triggering the variance at this particular point. The goal of installing a rear deck is to improve our access to the living space in the rear yard. Right at the moment, our requirement is that we have to trek down through the basement, and it's reducing the kind of access we have for enjoyment, barbecues and that sort of stuff, generally a little cramped by our requirement to actually trudge through the current basement environment. Without a variance, unfortunately, we're not going to be able to proceed with the current project because of the historic placement of the property. The variance would allow us to construct a minimal deck. It's only 9 feet by 12 feet. It fills in a small section of the rear of the house, just enough to enjoy a table and a barbecue up the top, and provide us some additional access to the rear yard, which my partner is concerned about in terms of access in case of an earthquake or something like that. She's quite concerned about things falling off the wall in the basement if we have to exit that way. Deck's actually really in keeping with the properties around about us. If you take a look at the property next door, you'll see that it's identical in terms of age, placement, layout, etc. It was actually constructed, as far as we can tell, by exactly the same builder. It's just reversed in terms of its layout. They have a similar deck, but it's about 30% larger than the current one that we're planning. We're trying to keep a very minimal invasion into the rear yard. We actually kind of like it. It has trees, etc. there. The deck has no impact on the privacy of our neighbors. It doesn't increase sight lines of any kind, so it doesn't have any impact on the surrounding neighborhood in terms of the usage or the access or the kind of the enjoyment of our neighbors around about. And we have support from all of the neighbors around about that this is seems to be a reasonable thing to do. So thank you. I'd appreciate your attention and hopefully see this come through.
Thank you. Any members of the public here to speak on this item? Seeing none, I'll close public comment, and I will also take this item under advisement. Thank you.
Moving to item number 10, case number 2016-012551 VAR, 1565 Eucalyptus Drive, street frontage variance sought. Project sponsor, please. You have 5 minutes, sir.
Good morning. My name is Jim Treeman. I'm the architect for the project. The project at hand is an existing detached two-story single-family residence. At some point, the owners have lived there for about 15 years. At some point before that, someone had converted one of the garage spaces into living space without a permit, so it was unpermitted work. So what the owners would like to do is convert that space back to a garage and add the garage door back that was taken out. So what that would necessitate is an additional curb cut, which is not in compliance with the planning with the current planning code. But what the owners would like to do, what we'd like to do, is just bring this back into conformance with the rest of the neighborhood. And the majority of the homes in the area have a very consistent established pattern of double garage doors and double curb cuts. I've enclosed these in the application. So there's various examples of projects within the block that have this established pattern. So it's something that we would like to convert back. That doesn't seem like an unreasonable request to make it coherent with the rest of the block. So one of the issues is the reduction of an off-street parking space, which in this neighborhood is not a particularly tough issue. It's about as suburban as San Francisco gets. There's ample street parking. We've included a parking survey showing street shots of the street at different times of the day, different times of the week, showing that, you know, off-street parking is really not a major issue. In terms of, you know, this being a hardship on the owners, the double garage doors and the two off-street enclosed parking spots is something that most of the residents enjoy in that neighborhood, and it's something that they would like to have as well. And I think that's it. I think the owner, Ron, might like to say a couple of words.
Hi, my name is Ronald Emmetel. I've been living in this property for 15 years. My wife and I, and we have two children. We want to stay in this neighborhood because we like the space and everything. There's plenty of parking, and we just want to have what all the other houses in the area seem to have on our immediate block and all the other blocks in our general neighborhood. And that's it. Thanks.
So again, this is something that was not, they had purchased the house this way, and it was something that was not their doing. And so they just like to enjoy what the rest of the neighbors have. Any other questions? Or?
Thank you. I don't believe, but I'll check any member of the public here to speak on this item. Okay, seeing none, I'll close public comment. Do you know approximately when it was converted?
We have no idea.
No idea, okay.
There's no permits.
We bought the house in 2012, and the previous owners lived there for 4 years before that. So sometime 2002 minus 4 years, sometime in that time frame.
Okay. So maybe back in there, okay. And right now, I mean, you obviously have this single garage door and a garage space behind. How do you use the space in the area of the ground floor behind the window?
Oh, that's like a room. Like an office.
So it's like a separate finished room.
Yeah.
So theoretically you would knock that out and just have
Yeah, just put the garage
space.
Back.
Great, okay. Thank you. I will look over this in detail and take it under advisement.
Okay, thank you.
Moving to item number 11, case number 2016-010229 VAR. 175 Twin Peaks Boulevard, rear yard variance sought. 5 minutes.
My name is David Hoffman. I'm a co-owner of 175 Twin Peaks, and Arnie Lerner is here, our architect. In terms of the, this is a proposal to gain a variance to build a deck which extends more than the 3 feet. That would be within, I think, code. So basically the first thing is I think we wanted to show the context of the house and the amount of open space which is in back of the house. In this particular case, our house has several lots worth of open space, rear yards in back of our house where we want to put our deck. As you can see, it extends quite a ways back. we have a 15-foot yard, and there's a level beneath the garage where there is a yard. But access to that yard requires us to go through the garage and go outside of the house to the driveway and then go through a gate. And it's not very convenient, and it really and also doesn't give us as much light and view as we'd like. The house has several decks currently, but none of them are really usable. There is a second floor deck, which basically affords standing room only from the living room. There is a deck off the master bedroom, which is north facing, and our house is like Wuthering Heights on that side. It's very windy and rainy and cold, and so that deck isn't really usable. And there's another small deck off the master bedroom, which is basically for a fire escape. So we would like a deck off our second floor living room, which affords easy access to the sunlight and the outside area. let's see. I think that those are the first three findings. In terms of materially detrimental to public welfare, we're talking about an 80-foot deck. It's bounded by street and open space. It's close. You know, it's really in the center of our property. We had a pre-app meeting with the neighbors. We didn't hear objections. We want to enjoy a deck with easy access, with light and air. The deck will be constructed with a minimal footprint. We're using glass railings, and we're very sensitive to making the deck in alignment with the architecture of the house. Okay.
Arnie Lerner, the architect. Just to summarize, I think this is a pretty extraordinary situation where you have a minimal rear yard 15 feet deep, and they're wanting to put a deck that faces basically a huge open space that really won't impact their neighbors, and it provides them actually an outdoor space that faces south, and so they can enjoy their home and a little bit of outdoor space like the neighbors do.
Great. Thank you. I don't see any members of the public here, so I'm assuming there's no public comment, so I will close the public comment. I appreciate all of the information. There's definitely an interesting lot and situation, and I will take it under advisement.
Okay.
Thank you.
So I guess case number three, which is a no-show, it's not here, so I was thinking of just if they show up that we could hear it.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you want to handle item number three? Do you want...
Well, I think we should call it and recognize that no one is here and
yes.
close it.
So are we? Are we continuing it or are we denying it?
We don't have any information as to why they would not be here. Let me check my emails real quick, make sure we don't have.
Yeah, that's 3851 Market Street.
Yeah. Not receive any.
You have no email.
I don't have any emails. Let me look at the specifics of this one again. This was a 3851
Market
Street.
This is a rear yard variance.
Organization open space. Two units and building. Let me just take a moment and look at this calendar language.
Just to note, if we need to continue it for March 22nd or just deny it altogether.
How big is March 22nd right now?
I have, including item number 12, which is moving to March 22.
We'll
have 16 cases. I will have 17 if we move 3851 Market Street, which is still doable.
Yeah, I think we should continue it.
Okay, so this will be continuance to March 22nd.
All right, there's also no public here who would like to speak at public comment at the end of the agenda. So with that, I will close the hearing.